Dave, you've traveled all over the country and you see how we are very comfortable as Christians in our country. For the most part, we don't see a lot of persecution in the way our brothers and sisters overseas have. We've had people on our program who have faced persecution, especially in the Middle East, people on our program who have lost families and friends who've been tortured, even killed for Christ. Dave, what would you say to our listeners so that we could encourage them and encourage ourselves to pray more for the persecuted church?
Well, Isaac, I would say this. All it takes is listening to one of the many guests, as you've referenced, that has been on this program citing, and I'm thinking of one dear brother who watched his own physical brother beheaded because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, this occurred in a majority Muslim country. But in addition to listening to that, all it takes is traveling outside these United States into some of these countries that are now rapidly falling under the sway of Islamic ideology and Islamic Sharia law, and you see something that motivates you like you will never be motivated to pray. I'm reminded, Isaac, of a trip to the African continent. I remember a young man, young pastor, coming up to me. He was so full of the joy of the Lord. He was one of the most wonderful representatives and advertisements for the gospel of Christ I've ever met. And a gentleman saw me talking to him. He pulled me aside later and he said, "Dave, that young man's church is surrounded on three sides by Muslim mosques." And then he said this. He said, "Unless something dramatically changes, that young man will one day die for his faith because he is so vocal, so vibrant about sharing the gospel." And so those kind of things will motivate you to pray for the persecuted church. We don't see much of that in the United States of America, but unless something changes, unless we get our immigration laws fixed, we're going to see more of that in the United States as well as around the world.
Very powerful. Dave, that reminds me of a very close family member of mine. I won't say who and what country in Africa it was, but he and his wife were discipling a young girl whose family was Muslim. And she asked, "What does it mean to take up your cross?" And they said, "What would happen if your parents find out that you're studying the Bible?" And she said, "Oh, I understand." And shortly after that, she came back beaten and bloody. And she said, "I have accepted Christ as my savior and I've taken up my cross." And we don't see that in our country so many times. Sam, what can we do as comfortable Christians in America? What can we do to pray for, but not just to pray for, other things that we could do to help our persecuted brothers and sisters of Christ in other parts of the world?
Well, Isaac, it's a great question. One of the most fundamental things is American Christians, we know, they just need to understand what the Bible says, because most Christians in America who call that name by their own words, Isaac, don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To be a cultural Christian, which is just to say I live in a Christian nation and I like the benefits that come from Christian laws, is far different than to be a true believer in Jesus Christ who understands who God is through Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provides, and to live accordingly. What do we do is that American Christians really need to look in the mirror and say, "Do I really know Jesus Christ as my own personal savior, or am I trusting in something else?" That's where it starts. If we don't understand as a true believer in Jesus Christ in this country, Isaac, we will lose our nation because we will not understand the basis of our laws or who God is through Jesus Christ that makes all this possible. I submit that part of the true reason we're in trouble in our country because we have too many cultural Christians who enjoy the benefits of what God have done, but they don't know Jesus Christ personally.